إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر أمور محدثاتها، فكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ابن قدامة عليه رحمة الله, the great Imam, he mentioned inside of his book Al-Muqni' in the chapter of the book of An-Nikah, he said, وَفِعْلُهُ مَعَ الشَّهْوَةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ نَوَافِلِ عِبَادِهِ وَيَجِبُ عَلَى مَنْ يَخَافُ زِنَا بِتَرْكِهِ. He said, speaking about the affair of marriage, he said that doing it, meaning getting married, while one has the desire for that, is better than the supererogatory acts of worship. And it becomes obligatory upon the individual who fears falling into fornication if he does not get married. Shaykh al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Utaymi alayhi rahmatullah, he mentioned, commenting upon this particular point, he says, فَالنِّكَاهُ إِذَا كَانَ لَدَى الْإِنسَانِ شَهْوَةً وَعِنْدَهُ مَالْ يَسْتَطِعْ بِهِ الْقِيَامِ بِوَاجِبِ النِّكَاحِ فَإِنَّهُ أَفْضَلُ بِالنَّوَافِلِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he said, therefore, marriage, أيها الأخوة أخوان, if the individual, he has desire for marriage, and he has the money with which he is able to establish that which is obligatory upon him as it relates to the affair of marriage, then in that case, marriage is better than the supererogatory acts of worship. And then Shaykh, he presents a scenario. He said that if someone were to come and say, هَلْ تُفَدِّلُونَ أَنْ أَبْقَى أَتَعَبَّدْ فِي الْمَسْجِدْ بِالصَّلَاحِ وَالتَّسْبِيحِ وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ أَنْ أَتَزَوُّجْ. He said, if somebody were to come and say, now, which do you think is better, that I should remain inside of the masjid, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of these supererogatory prayers, as well as tasbih, saying subhanallah, as well as reciting the book of Allah azza wa jal, or that I should get married? Shaykh Uthaymeen, he said, فَقُلْنَا لَهُ, we say to this individual, مَا دُمْتَ ذَا شَهْوَةٍ وَعِنَّكَ مَا تَقُومُ بِهِ بِوَاجِبَاتِ النِّكَاحِ فَإِنَّ الْأَفْضَلُ أَن تَتَزَوَّجْ. He said that we say to this individual, as long as you have shahwa, you have the desire for that, and you have that which will make it, yani, so that you can establish that which is obligatory upon you from taking care of your wife and the likes of this, from finances, then in this case, getting married is better for you than all of those acts of worship. لأن فيه من المصالح العظيمة ما يرب على نوافل العبادة. Because marriage, it has inside of it from great and magnificent benefits that makes it outweigh the supererogatory acts of worship. So since the affair is like this, أيها الأخوة وأخوة, it is upon all of us to give great importance to this affair of marriage. The male from amongst us and the females from amongst us. We must give great importance to this affair. Because marriage, أيها الأخوة وأخوة, it is a means for us to find security, to find solace and comfort. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned inside of his book, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He said from his ayat, from his signs, is that he has created for you wives from amongst yourselves so that you can find comfort and relaxation with her. And he has placed between the two of you mawadda, love, affection, and mercy. إِنَّا فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, in this, there are signs for the people who reflect upon this particular affair. So our marriage, أيها الأخوة والأخوة, it is supposed to be a source of comfort, a source of relaxation, a source of mercy, a source of love and contentment. However, this is only if we strive our level best to establish the rights of one another. And since we mentioned last week something from the rights of the wives for men al-munasib, then it is appropriate for us that we mention to you something from the rights of the husbands which they have over their wives. For indeed, أيها الأخوة والأخوة, the sisters, they have upon them something heavy. Sisters, you have upon you, if Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with a spouse, something heavy, something weighty. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in that which he reported on the thought of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la amaratu ahadan an yasjuda li ahadan la amaratu al-mar'ata an tasjuda li zawjiha min 'idmi haqqihi. He said, if I were to command anyone to prostrate to another individual, then I would have commanded the woman to prostrate to her husband due to the enormity of the right that he has upon her. وَلَا تَجِدُ إِمْرَأَةٌ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى تُؤَدِّي حَقَّ زَوْجِهَا. And a woman will not taste the sweetness of an iman until she gives her husband his rights. وَلَوْ سَأَلَهَا نَفْسَهَا وَهِيَ عَلَى ذَحْرِ قَطْبٍ. Even if it be the fact that he asked her for herself, meaning he's seeking after her to fulfill his desire while she's upon the back of a camel, she better get down and give it to him. Well, fi riwayatin, in another narration, وَالَّذِي نَسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَا تُؤَدِّي إِمْرَأَةٌ حَقَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى حَتَّى تُؤَدِّي حَقَّ زَوْجِهَا. In another narration, it mentions that by he in whose hands is the soul of Muhammad, a woman will not have fulfilled the rights of Allah Ta'ala upon her until she fulfills what? The rights of her husband. This is how serious this matter is, my dear sisters in Islam. However, from amongst the women, you find she who stands in the face of her husband demanding every single iota of what she has coming to her and more. And she is not willing to overlook a single shortcoming of her husband's, as if she is one of the Huru'ain herself, as if she is one of the women of paradise, and she has no shortcomings as it relates to that. Whereas we mentioned to you the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when he said that I hate to ask my wife for all of her rights for fear that she would ask me for all of her rights. For Allah Ta'ala, he said within his book, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And they have rights which are similar to those which are due upon them, and that which is reasonable. And this is Ibn Abbas, this is from his wisdom. But no, my dear sisters in Islam, this is a door which swings both ways. It is a door which swings both ways. So I don't know any marriage that will last if we micromanage and point out every single shortcoming and fault of the other individual as if we don't have our own. Rather, we must be willing to overlook while at the same time striving our level best to fulfill that which is over, which is due upon us. So from the rights which the rijal, which the men have upon their wives, that is binding upon them to fulfill, is at-ta'ah. It is obligatory upon the woman to obey her husband. To obey her husband. And his obedience is in everything which does not entail the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, if your husband commands you with that which is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are not to obey him in that. For the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. That there is no obedience to the creation in disobedience of the Creator. However, if your husband commands you with anything, that is not disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obligatory upon you to comply. And obedience to your husband, my dear sisters in Islam, takes precedence over obedience to your father. It takes precedence over obedience to your father. So we must obey, and the women, they must obey their husbands in everything which is ma'ruf. And from that which the women must obey their husbands in is when he calls you to the firash to fulfill his desire with you. It is not for the pious believing woman to say that she doesn't feel like it, to say that she doesn't want to. This is not for her. Likewise, what you must obey your husband in is as it relates to the affairs of the children. And you give his statement precedence over your own statement. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and that which is reported on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, إذا صلت المرأة خمسها وصامت شهرها وحسنت فرجها وطاعت زوجها قيل لها ادخل الجنة من أي أبواب الجنة شئتي. That if the woman, she prays her five obligatory prayers, and she fasts her month, meaning the month of Ramadan, and she safeguards her private parts, and she obeys her husband, it shall be said to her, enter into Jannah from whichever one of its doors that you wish. So the intelligent woman looks at the obedience of her husband, one, as worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she looks at it too as a means of getting into Jannah. Whereas the opposite of this, disobedience to your husband, just as obedience to him is a means to get the best reward, which is Jannah, disobedience of him is a means to get you the worst possible punishment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة اثنان. The most severe of those who are punished on the day of judgment are two. امرأة عصت زوجها وإمام قوم وهم له كارهون. The first is a woman who is disobedient towards her husband. And the second is one who was the imam over the people, while in fact they dislike him being the imam over him. الشيخ اللامه محمد ناصر الدين الالباني عليه رحمه الله, he mentioned concerning this particular narration, he said, so if it is obligatory upon the woman to obey her husband in something such as the fulfillment of his desires, فبل اولى ان يجب عليها, then it is more obligatory upon her to obey him in that which is more important than that. From that which contains, such as, for example, the tarbiyah and the upbringing of the children, as well as the rectification of the family unit and the likes of that, from those rights and those obligations which are due upon her. Likewise, from the rights which your husband have upon you, my dear sisters in Islam, is he has the right to your shukr. He has the right to you to be grateful and to be thankful towards him. and not to be ungrateful towards him. You are to be thankful for the good which he does for you, and you are not to be ungrateful for that. Abdullah ibn Amr, he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا ينظر الله إلى امرأة لا تشكر زوجها وهي لا تستغني عنه. Allah Ta'ala, he would not look at a woman who is not grateful towards her husband when she knows she can't do without him. She knows that she cannot do without him. And being ungrateful to your husbands, my dear sisters in Islam, it is indeed amongst the reasons which the women, they are the majority of the people of the hellfire. For the sole reason of being ungrateful towards their husbands. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that which is reported on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he said, Inni ra'aytul Jannah. He said, indeed I have seen Jannah. And he said, and I saw its fruits. Had I taken one of its fruits, no doubt you would be able to eat upon it, eat from that fruit as long as the dunya remains. And indeed I saw the hellfire. And I have not seen a day similar to today in terms of the terrors which I saw. And I saw that the majority of its people were an-nisa, were the women. So the companions, they said, Lima ya Rasulullah, why are the women the majority of the people of the hellfire, O Messenger of Allah? Qala bi kufrihin. He said, due to their kufr. Due to their kufr. So it was said, Yakfurna billah. Do they disbelieve in Allah? So kufr here, my dear sisters in Islam, is not that they are disbelievers. The Messenger of Allah, he explained it. Yakfurna al-ashir. They are ungrateful towards their husbands. وَيَكْفُرْنَا الْإِحْسَانِ. And they are ungrateful towards the good that is done to them. He said, لَوْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهِنْ. If you were to be good to one of them for the entirety of the time that you are together, as soon as she sees something from you which she dislikes, she's going to say what? مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرٌ قَطْ. I've never seen anything good from you ever. All of the good that you've done for her goes out of the window as soon as she sees one thing from you which is displeasurable, that she dislikes. She forgets all of the good that you've done for her. So this is from the reason which the women, they are the majority of the people of the hellfire. May Allah Ta'ala protect our wives from being from this category. Likewise, from the rights which your husband had upon you, my dear sisters in Islam, is hirs ala adam iqdabihi, is that you are diligent upon never to make him angry. That you strive your level best never to ever make your husband angry. Never to make him sad. Never to make him upset. It's been mentioned on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِنِسَائِكُمْ مِنْ أَحْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Shall I not inform you of the women who are from the people of paradise? So this should make all of the women listen. Shall I not inform you of the women who are from the women of paradise? He said, Al-Wadud al-Walud. He said, those women who are affectionate, loving towards their husbands. And they are walud, they are childbearing. Those women who, they frequently return to their husbands. And those women who, listen to this, those women who, if they cause some harm to their husband, or if they are caused harm, listen to the description of the aqila, the woman who was intelligent, the woman who was salihah, whether she causes the harm herself, or she has caused harm, she goes to her husband, she takes his hand, and she says, Wallahi, by Allah, I am not going to sleep until you are pleased with me. This is the intelligent woman. And may Allah Ta'ala make our wives to be from amongst them. أَقُولُ قَالِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرُ مُسْلِمِينَ لِكُلِّ ذَمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين نبينا وإمامنا محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Likewise, from the rights which your husband have upon you, my dear sisters in Islam, is that tawaddud ilayh, that you display compassion and love and good sentiments towards your husband. This is his right, that you are loving, that you are kind and you are gentle towards him. And we already mentioned the narration of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in describing the women of paradise as having this quality and this characteristic. Likewise, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that from his signs is that he has created for you wives so that you can find comfort in them. And he has placed between you what? Mawaddah, love, affection, wa rahmah, and mercy. So this is from his huquq, his rights that he has upon you, is that you display love and gentleness and kindness toward him. Likewise, from his rights, my dear sisters in Islam, that he has upon you, and tahfaz irdahu, that you safeguard his honor, that you preserve and you safeguard the honor of your husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned inside of his book, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتُ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ, that those righteous women who are devoutly obedient towards their husbands, they safeguard in his absence that which Allah Ta'ala would have them to safeguard. It's been mentioned on the authority of the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that some women from the people of Hims, istatana ala Aisha, they sought permission to enter upon Aisha. So when they entered upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, la'allakun, perhaps you are from those women. Listen to this. Perhaps you are from those women who you enter into the public bathhouses. And this is in reference to something which was prevalent during that particular time, and you still find it in some of the Arab lands. Public bathhouses are where people, they go and they bathe in public. They bathe in public. Aisha questioned these women, perhaps you are from these women who go into the public bathhouses. She said, radiallahu ta'ala anha, indeed I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whichever woman takes off her clothing in other than the house of her husband, that she has removed the covering which between herself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, and we hope, matter of fact, we know that the women of this masjid, Masjid al-Shura, they are not, as I'm about to describe, something which I know from tajriba, but from experience. We have seen some women who do the opposite of that which they are supposed to do. You find them that when they're in public with their husband, they wear niqab. But when their husband is away from them, they lift their niqab and they show themselves to men who are impermissible for them. Shameless women. Shameless women. Rather, it is upon the woman to safeguard the honor of her husband. Because the woman who does this, no doubt she is shaming him. And she is disrespecting him as a result, as it relates to his honor. Likewise, the woman, she must safeguard the house of her husband. She must safeguard his home and his property, such that no one enters into his home. She does not allow anyone to enter into his home that he is displeased with. This is his right. And I don't care if you were living there at the time that he married you. It's still his house. It is his house. As we asked Sheikh Muhammad Akkor maybe 2 weeks ago, concerning the man who marries another wife who lives in another state, when he goes to visit her, does he shorten his prayers and combine his prayers? The Sheikh, he said no, because once he marries her, that house is now his house. That house is now his house. Would you, a woman that has a husband, and you feel like it's your house? You have a husband and it's your house? No. It's his. So no one is to enter into his house that he is displeased with. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, فَأَمَّا حَقُّكُمْ عَلَى نِسَائِكُمْ, that indeed from the rights which you have upon your women is that she does not allow anyone to sit upon your furniture who you are displeased with, nor does she allow anyone to enter into your homes that you are displeased with. So it is upon the sisters to seek the permission of their husbands if they intend on having company or they desire to have company. Anyone from amongst the sisters. This is his right. This is his right. The last thing we'll mention, and by Allah, in researching this topic, we're not able to find this particular affair listed anywhere amongst the rights of the husbands. And perhaps this is because it's expected that amongst the Muslims it should be a given. It should be a given. I want to say to the sisters that if your husband is any type of a good man, if he is worth anything at all, the thing which he is in need of, more than he is in need of your body, more than he is in need of you to help him with the bills, is he is in need of and he wants your respect. He is in need of and he wants the respect of his wife. No doubt we see some of the women, they're disrespectful towards their husbands. They're disrespectful towards their husbands. And this is a result of the lack of haya. A lack of haya. Nothing else. Imam Al-Albani, alayhi rahmatullah, he mentioned when speaking about the lack of haya that you find amongst the Muslim women today. He said that this is from the reasons for the spread of qillatul haya fi nisa. This, meaning women having this characteristic of manliness, is from the reasons for the spread of a scanty amount of haya amongst the women. This affair, الَّذِي جَعَلَ الْكَثِيرَاتِ مِنْهُنَّ مُتَرَجِلَاتِ, which has made many of the women to be manly, masculine characteristics. And what does he mean by this? He says, وَمِمَّا لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ أَن تُرَجُّلَ الْمَرْأَى يَجْعَلَهَا. He said, from that in which there is no doubt, is that the manliness of the woman makes her have a presumptive attitude in front of her husband. It makes her be presumptive in front of her husband. And he says, فَقَدْ تَعْلَوْا عَلَيْهِ بِسَوْتِهَا. Perhaps this woman, this strange woman, she will raise her voice at her husband. And perhaps she will embarrass him in front of some of his relatives or in front of some of her relatives. إِسْتِعْلَاءً مِنْهَا عَلَى زَوْجِهَا. This is due to a supposed superiority which she thinks that she has over her husband. Wallahi, the pious and righteous and intellectual, intelligent woman is not like this. She is not like this. The woman who has hayat, she is not like this. However, we know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that from amongst the statements which we have with us from the first prophethood is what? إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you have no shame, then do as you wish. You have no shame, then do as you wish. And this is not a green light. Rather, it's a threat to you. It's a threat to you. That if you have no shame, go ahead and do what you want to do. Allah Ta'ala will punish you for it. Allah will punish you for it. The Arabs, they have an idiom, a statement. They say, الْمَرْأَةُ إِذَا طَالَ لِسَانَهَا قَصَرَتْ أَيَّامَهَا مَعَ زَوْجِ. They say that the woman, if her tongue is long, then her days with her husband will be short. If her tongue is long, meaning she's jazzy with her mouth, she's slick out of her mouth towards her husband, she has a long tongue, then her days with her husband will be short. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make our days with our wives to be long and beautiful and good. And no doubt this subject is too broad to cover inside of a khutbah. So just as we did with the brothers last week, we will discuss the rest of the rights of the husband in the sisters' class tomorrow. And we ask that all of the sisters come as the brothers, they came and they were concerned about this affair. We saw brothers taking notes out of concern for what is due upon them as it relates to you, sisters. Your husband did this for you. So it is upon the sisters to come out and be concerned about this same affair. If Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with a husband, or you intend on getting married in the future, and you want a husband in the future, you must know what is due upon you as a woman to discharge and to give to your husband. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا لصلاتكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.